5, verses 1 through 25. Isaiah 45, this is what the Lord says to his anointed. To Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him, to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide, let salvation spring up, let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretch out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord says, the products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and those tall Sabians, they will come over to you and will be yours. They will trudge behind you, coming over to you in chains. They will bow down before you and plead with you, saying, surely God is with you and there is no other. There is no other God. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God and Savior of Israel. All the makers of idols will be put to shame and disgrace. They will go off into disgrace together. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgrace to ages everlasting. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God, he who fashioned and made the earth. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about wood, idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be, present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered it, uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous, and he will exult. Brothers and sisters, arise. Hear the good news. From the beginning, God's redemptive plan was to remake creation. This included bringing a new humanity out of the old. God knits together his people, both Jew and Gentile, as the redeemed in Jesus Christ now and forever. So, brothers and sisters, those in Christ, God promises, as you are united to him through baptism, holding fast to him by faith, God promises you the victory of the Son, the forgiveness of the Father, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us respond to salvation given us freely by God by singing to him for his glory. United to Jesus Christ, we are set apart. We are holy unto the Lord. Holy people live holy lives. God says, you are holy, now be holy. So let us hear from God's will for life from Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 35. These are the words of God. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he's done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now and ask the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? Merciful Father, who desires not the damnation of the sinner, extend thy grace, mercy, and goodness to us, and bury all our iniquities, that we, being guarded with thy goodness, may rejoice in thee, living in all uprightness, as we are instructed by thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us this day by your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand. Change our hearts, Lord, from hardened hearts to softened hearts. Give us new life in your Son by your Spirit, that we may go forth from your house walking in uprightness, living holy lives as you've given us in Christ by your Spirit. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. Please stand together and sing unto the Lord our God. Our sermon text this morning begins in Acts chapter 9, verse 32. And we'll go throughout the end of chapter, through the end of chapter 10, verse 48. So it's a little bit longer passage this morning, but it all goes together. Acts 9:32 through Acts 10:48. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Acts 9:32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius!" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go down with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large number of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. May the Lord bless unto us this reading of this holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate this Lord's Day, Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. We celebrate that Jesus, for our sake, died on the cross and shed his own precious blood. And that blood that was shed was innocent blood. For the Son of God took on human flesh to die. He lived a perfect life, but he suffered for our sake, and he died on that cross. Make no mistake about it, God died on that cross. God, the one from whom all life flows, the one who gives us life. He gives us new life through his death. These incredible acts happened in history. They really and truly happened. And they're very significant acts. How significant? I want you to think right now, what are the effects of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension? Just think in your mind right now, what are the benefits of his death, resurrection, and ascension? How did things change because of Jesus died? Well, first off, for ourselves, what about our sins? Atoned for. Wiped clean. We are washed in that blood. Jesus died so our sins would be forgiven. The price has been paid. Praise God. How about our relationship with God? Reconciled. We are now acceptable in God's sight because of what Christ did. You were exhorted for next Lord's Day to reconcile yourselves with one another. How can you do that? We have disagreements. We have fights. How can our relationships be restored? Because of Jesus. He reconciles us with one another. What about our sicknesses? What about the certainty of death for all of us? How does Christ's death affect that? We have no fear. Death is no longer a penalty for us. We no longer have to fear death. Now, death, for those of us in Christ, it is transitional. God is bringing us from glory unto glory. So the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings us from this life to the next. What about enslavement to sin? What did Jesus' death do for that? We are set free. We are liberated from sin. We don't have to sin anymore. The power of the Holy Spirit in us, through Christ's death and resurrection, says we can live holy lives. We are not enslaved to sin. Sin has no bearing on us, for we are in Christ. Now, these are just some of the effects of what Jesus accomplished. Can you think of any more? What about these bodies that break down? What happens to these bodies? In Christ's resurrection, he promises us new bodies, resurrected bodies that will never break down. What about our loved ones who die in the Lord? Where are they now? In heaven. In God's presence, where we worship God with them now and forever. Now, we could sit here all day. I could pull out the whiteboard out of the office and we could just make a list of all the benefits that Christ gives us in his death, his resurrection, and ascension. And that list would be long. The Apostle John wrote at the end of his gospel account, if all the deeds of Christ were written down, we could not write enough human books or physical books to contain them all. Now, for the purpose of the sermon this morning, we consider, because of the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, the bringing together of two separate people groups. Because of Jesus, now Jew and Gentile are brought together into one body. In the new covenant, Jesus joins us together as one. The Jewish Christians, not physical Jews, Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Jesus takes one nation of believers and all the other nations of the world where he has his people, and he forms us into one body. And this is a central theme in the New Testament. How do Jewish Christians, with God's law given to them, and new Gentile believers who may fear God, their Creator, and hear the gospel for the first time, how do they fit together as one group? How does that work? Now, we know the second greatest commandment. Boys and girls, what's the second greatest commandment? Caleb. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This included the Jews in the Old Covenant. They were commanded to love their neighbor as themselves. They had to love one another. But this also includes the Gentiles outside the covenant. So an Old Covenant Jew came across another Old Covenant Jew. They were to love one another. But if they came into contact with someone in need who was outside the covenant, they were to love them too. Love those whom you come across. Anyone know what parable that was taught in? Really, Sunday school class? Evan? The Good Samaritan. Very good. Now, this section in Acts chapter 9 into Acts